listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from God. Amen. How many of you have ever witnessed in real life an exorcism? I've heard of that happening, but I have not seen it for myself. I've never seen the exorcism in the traditional sense. I wonder if the man in the gospel text for today was foaming at the mouth, talking with a different, really creepy voice, flailing around, the stuff of Hollywood movies. It's possible to get caught up in imagining and trying to figure out what that must have been like, the drama and the tragedy and the terror of a man possessed by an unclean spirit, and miss the point of this story. The point of this story is that Jesus casts out demons. He does it in the synagogue too, by the way, as the Reverend Dr. Joy Moore points out, in the holy house. When people gather to worship, Jesus can cast out demons among us, Bethlehem, and friends, as we huddle together in worship on this snowy day here in Northern Virginia. Yes, Jesus casts out unclean spirits, and we all have them. We all have a demon living inside us. Maybe it's not as obvious as this text, or like it is in the movies, but I think the most powerful demons are actually the most subtle, buried way down there in our psyches, polluting our deepest being. It's easy to separate ourselves from this story at first glance, but we're actually right in the middle of it. Can you name your demon? What is it that possesses you? I've been doing some thinking about demons this week. Stuff in us that's got a hold of us for the worse. Those death-making as opposed to life-giving forces within us, deep inside us. And it occurs to me that there are many, many different kinds of demons. Different for everyone. The more obvious kinds of demons are the ones that are expressed externally. One might think of the seven deadly sins, you know, greed and sloth and anger and pride. These are demons that can live within us. Reinhold Niebuhr, 20th century theologian, used to say that the greatest problem with the world, if you could take all the sin of the world and sum it up with one word, he would say it would be pride. Talk about an unclean spirit, right? Everything comes down to the human being proud. That's why people fight among themselves. That's why people say cruel things. That's why nations invade others, particularly others who are weaker. That's why there's racism. That's why anger flares up and greed takes over. That's why people are hungry and poverty is a reality. Pride. That's the unclean spirit, according to Niebuhr. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But then others came along after Niebuhr and said, you know, that's a very male perspective. They said, you know, that's good stuff, but it doesn't ring true for many women, nor is it true for all men. This is my point. There are so many different kinds of demons. What is it for you? Maybe some of you, pride is the demon. It certainly can be for me. Anger also. Many of us act out our brokenness. But how many countless others are not full of pride in the least? In fact, maybe just the opposite. I don't want to overgeneralize, but I am generalizing. This is based on studies, and we've seen this in our society. While many men and boys externally act out their brokenness. You see this with boys at school and then into adulthood. By the way, powerful quote from Richard Rohr on men. He says, when positive masculine energy is not modeled from father to son, it creates a vacuum in the souls of men, and into that vacuum, demons pour. I've got that posted on my desk just as a reminder. I'll just say it again. When positive masculine energy is not modeled from father to son, it creates a vacuum in the souls of men, and into that vacuum, demons pour. So while many men and boys externally act out their brokenness, many women and girls, on the other hand, can go inside themselves. They can internalize their brokenness. We see this with the rates of eating disorders among teenage girls. Staggering numbers are cutting themselves or harming their own bodies in tragic ways. I talked to someone who used to cut herself, and she said she did it because she desperately wanted to feel something, even if that was pain. It makes you wonder, by the way, if the churches could do more, could help more our young people. So more contemporary scholars have countered with and added to Niebuhr's idea of the sin of pride, the sin of hiding. For one, the extreme is the inflation of self. The self thinks itself greater than it actually is. Anger, greed, entitlement, there's the pride. But for others, there is the negation of self, the sin of hiding. It was Susan Nelson Dunphy who first described the sin of hiding. She says it has enabled, in part, so many women to remain at the margins or in the shadows of leadership. I believe there's also, of course, sexism at play there. That's a demon in itself, as is racism and all the other toxic isms. But the sin of hiding, silence, submission, enabling abuse, succumbing to guilt. Oh, guilt is a demon too, isn't it? How many of us do things for no other reason, regardless of gender, how many of us do things for no other reason than the fact that guilt is riding us like a monkey on our backs? This gospel is so real for us today. And what's the good message here that we can miss? That Jesus casts out the demons. Jesus takes our demons, friends, whatever they are, and commands them to leave us. One of my favorite spirituals is, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. It's a simple and profound celebration of the fact that Jesus does cast out our demons, molding us into the truest and purest thing that we can be, fully human. For some, we fall victim to trying to be more than human, inflating ourselves with the sin of pride. For others, we fall victim to being less than human, deflating ourselves with the sin of hiding. Hear the good news, sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ. Jesus casts out those distorted portraits of ourselves, whichever way they're distorted by sin and demons, and Jesus calls us, paints us into who we are made to be, beloved and sent out children of God. It sounds nice. It sounds nice, but it doesn't happen without some thrashing about. Did you notice that in the text? The unclean spirit convulsed him, it said, and cried out with a loud voice. Demons don't like Jesus, and they don't like to come out. Just ask anyone who's battled addiction. Talk about demons. They don't like to come out. The Greek word for convulsing there, sparatzan, it has connotations of grasping and shaking violently. They don't like to come out. Here's another interesting thing to think about. The demons recognize Jesus right away. Often it's hard for us to recognize Jesus right away when we meet Jesus. Have you ever had those experiences in life where you don't notice it in the moment, and then you look back and you go, oh, yeah, that was Jesus. I didn't realize. The stranger that greets you, or maybe it's a friend who offers a harsh word, and you're not thinking that's Jesus in the moment. You're probably the pride is bubbling up, and you push him back maybe. And then as you look back, you go, oh, that was Jesus. Think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They walked with Jesus all day and didn't recognize him until later. Our Old Testament text today talks about false prophets. We don't always recognize Jesus right away, but the demons do. What's that about? When our demons of pride or hiding are threatened by Jesus, when Jesus comes into their midst, it's going to hurt to come out. The exorcism is going to shake us because we've grown accustomed to living with our demons. And we've even made friends with our demons. So don't be surprised if it stings a little bit, if you convulse a little in church. Maybe the exorcism takes a whole season. You know, Lent is coming. It all reminds me of when our kids, Micah and Katie, would get a cut. And always, it would hurt when we had to clean the wound. They'd always cry a little bit, or at least wince when we had to wash the wound. We can all relate to that sting. It's going to hurt a little bit. But in the end, friends in Christ, we are made clean. We are healed. We are freed from all the demonic forces that tie us down. This is the gospel truth this day and forever. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Amen.
Us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.